I wanted to take some time today and really talk about what communion really means. Let me say that again. What communion really means from the scriptures, because many times communion is talked about in different ways by different Christians that is not in any way connected with the scriptures. And it begins with what we know. It always starts with what we know. And Paul began 1 Corinthians chapter 8 referring to what we know. But what we know doesn't always mean the right thing. Because he said this, now concerning food offered to idols. We know that all of us possess knowledge. Notice the times he uses the word knowledge. This knowledge puffs up like not matzah, okay? Like puffy bread. But love builds up. So I want to stop here for just a second. God wants our love to do the work that knowledge gives us. Too many times, what he's telling the Corinthians is, you have knowledge, but you're not loving. And how do you know someone's loving? They're laboring. They're working. Love is shown in the Bible through labor. That's what it says. Love builds. And that word building, you know what it means? Building. That means you're actually building something. And any of you that has built anything knows building takes work. How many of you worked on this building here? It took work, didn't it? How many of you built a building on your property? How many of you have built something where you actually physically put things together? How many of you know it's work? It's a labor. And why do you do it? Because you love it. You're doing it out of love. And that's what the Bible teaches. As a matter of fact, one of the best examples of love and work is when Jacob got married. He thought he was getting married to Rachel, right? But he married Leah. He worked for 7 years. 7 years of work for the honor of getting married and expressing his love. And he had to do it twice because he ended up with 2-for-1. He had a 2-for-1 sale, by the way. Laban was a good salesman. He says, I'm going to give you 2 for the price of... No, he didn't say 2 for the price of 1. 2 for the price of 2. Good deal. Good businessman. So he got both his girls married when the guy thought it was just marrying one girl. Smart papa. Okay. So joke... You know, Jacob the fox got outfoxed by a foxier fox. That's what happened. But love works. And I feel that that's something that as Christians, we know that faith is dead without action. Come on, somebody say amen. So if you just say something and you don't do it, you don't have faith that's living. But if you say you love and you don't work, you're a liar. Amen. So labor hits the love department. And that's what Paul says. Love is poofy bread. Knowledge is just poof bread. But love is the real matzah. It's the real deal. What you see is what you have. You don't get all this poof in it. Now, we used to get it over there at the restaurant here, that Egyptian bread that would poof up and it looked really big. But all you had to do was stick a hole in it, and then it would go down, right? So it looked a whole lot bigger. And I want you to see the key things here. You need to know, first of all, that there is no God but one, verse 4. And for us, verse 6, there is one God, the Father, and one Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. So whenever we take communion, we have to start from there. We have to start from the fact there's one God, the Father, and one Lord, that Jesus Christ, period. No others. Just one. And that automatically brings us to a place of togetherness. That was a big shift for the Corinthians because they were used to many gods and many lords, and therefore they were divided. And today we're seeing an intentional shift away from one God and one Lord Jesus. We're seeing it. That's why we see the division. The fruit of many gods is division. It's division. And so what has kept our country together as a nation has kept us together as a people is one God and one Lord. Even though we include other people, it's really been the one God and one Lord that has kept us as a nation together, in my opinion. Okay, now let's go to the next part in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'm going to start there. So the first thing about communion is that it's all about love and it's about being one. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. The cup of blessing that we bless, is this not a participation in the blood of Christ? And the bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? The word participation in the Greek is the word koinonia, which is where we call fellowship. The name of our church was very intentional back in the beginning. We were called Martinsville Christian Fellowship. The emphasis wasn't so much on the word church. We called it a fellowship, and it's based on this word right here. And what does it mean? It means that when we eat together, we are participating together of one meal together. All of us have a piece of the pie. All of us have a slice of the bread. All of us have a chunk of one piece of meat. You see what I'm saying? It's all participate together in a fellowship together. We only not have a fellowship in one bread. We also have a fellowship in one cup. Even though we have little portions, the one cup is Jesus. He is the one cup. We have one cup and one bread. And Jesus said, Paul said, it's the participation or fellowship in the blood of Christ. And the bread that we break, is it not the participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body. We are one body. We're one body. Because we're all participating in the one bread. And then the last thing, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. 1 Corinthians 11:17. He says that when you get together and you come together, I've got nothing good to say about it. Because when you're gathering as a church, there's divisions among you. And I think that's one of the reasons why we named our church the Fellowship. Because it's our participation together. Because sometimes when you say the word church, there's all divisions. There's divisions. And God isn't calling us to be divided. He's calling us to be one. And why are they not one? Because they are not laboring in love. And so when they get together for their meals, some, instead of sharing, what do? They just eat their own meal by themselves. And then others get drunk in their church gatherings. How about that? Paul had to deal with it. Yeah, we're not naming any particular churches. I heard that. And And then there are some that don't have food, and so they come to church and nobody shares with them. Isn't that something? I believe that this church should never be, and I don't think I've ever been seen it in this situation here, where someone in this church that didn't have a need for food didn't get fed somehow, if we knew about it. Everybody has shared. I mean, I cannot tell you, just tell you story after story after story where there has been so much sharing, so much giving. I mean, none of us would have a coffee pot if it wasn't for Janine. Or a toaster, right? I mean, you know, that was her favorite gift years ago. Everybody, you know, we might have missed a lot of things, but we always had a coffee pot. Or a toaster or both. So I want you to see here, the last thing I want to say here is about remembering. So the first thing I want to say is that we need to know, but we need to love. We need to participate as one. And the last thing is we need to remember. Do you know that in all of the Gospels, there are four Gospels about the Last Supper, only one of them mentions the word remembering Jesus. And it was Luke. And of course, Luke was best buddies with Paul. And so Paul received a revelation about the Last Supper that he passed on to them. He said at this, in verse 24, he says, "The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, broke it," verse 24, "and said, 'This is my body, for which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" The only two people that said it in the Bible were Paul and Luke, in the book of Luke. And I believe that part of remembrance is really, really important. Because when we get together, we remember the fact that Jesus died for our sins. And that there's no more sacrifice for sins. He did it. Once for all. And there's a scripture that I don't want you to turn to, but if you turn to Hebrews 3, if you were, check it out, Hebrews 10, verse 3, you will see that the Old Testament sacrifices were designed to cause you to remember your sin. So when they got together and they offered up an animal and killed it and offered it to God, the purpose of it was to remind them that they were sinners. But when we come to Jesus, he wants us to be reminded of his sacrifice for our sin, and that we need to be reminded that we're saints, not sinners. That God has paid the price for our sin. Once and for all. Isn't that awesome? That is tremendous. I know, I want to just go, yes, yes. So remember Jesus. Remember him. He said, "Do this in remembrance of what I did for you." Remember that he gave the perfect sacrifice for your sin that you could be called a saint. Saint. You're a saint, holy one, a holy one. That's what a saint is. Sometimes it's hard to think of yourself like that, doesn't it? It's hard. Well, maybe you've been hanging around an Old Testament sacrifice too long. See what I'm saying? Because the purpose of the Old Testament sacrifice was to remind you that you're a sinner. The purpose of the New Testament sacrifice is to remind you that your debt has been paid in full. Come on. In full. You don't owe anyone anymore. Thank you, Bruce. That was a good amen, brother. Yeah. Praise God. So, with that in mind, can we stand to our feet? Can we stand if it's okay, if you're able or comfortably? That's right, Bruce. You don't have to stand. He's having a good time. Okay. Jesus said on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance, not of your sin, but in remembrance of me. Amen. Let's eat in remembrance of Jesus. Glory to God. And then he took the cup. And he said, this is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Jesus. We remember you, Jesus. Thank you. Let's drink. Okay, praise God.